All right. Fuck it then. Fuck it then. Here's Corey Ford talking about some shit. Go.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment.
Hey, thank you for joining me today. Today, my friend Corey joins me for... You know what? I'm going to start that over because that sounded real fucking stupid. Thanks for joining me. Today, my friend joins me. All right. Well, let's try again. This is the first time I've ever had to try again.
Just keep it all in. Fuck it. Who cares? You know?
For real, right?
That's what makes, you know, your podcast. Don't stop it. And fuck it. We're not editing out. We keep the mistakes in. And, you know, you all introduced right. me already.
Fuck it then. Fuck it then. Here's Corey Ford talking about some shit. Go.
Talking some shit.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm Corey Ford, and we're going to talk about some shit.
That's like right.
Friends do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
man.
Obviously, like, you know, unlike the other podcast so far, this is probably going to be a little different, a lot of more vulgar, and probably a lot more racist shit than the other ones, but that's how. You know, we've talked forever and friends talk every once in a while. So that's good. And because this shit is ghetto as fuck, Andrew, your fucking notifications are going to be on in the background.
Yeah.
Is just this, be rare.
Dude, I turned every single one.
Or it might be mine.
Off.
I don't know. I'm going to blame you just because.
I'm pretty sure it's me. But yeah, I've turned them all off and I'm still blown up over here with fucking emails and nonsense, which. It's pretty much all junk, so that's cool. But, yeah, anyway. So, yeah. Hopefully we don't get too bad, but yeah, it's probably going to be a lot more cussy than the other ones, especially the last one.
Yeah. Yeah. Asher wasn't cussing the storm in the last one, huh?
No, he was a pretty good kid, so he was doing all right. But, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll probably introduce ourselves, our friendship anyway, you know, I mean, we've known each other since, I don't know, dude, what, seventh grade?
Seventh grade. Yeah. I was thinking about that today. I was like, holy crap, man. That's 1998
or 99. Yeah. That's crazy.
98. That's.
Dude,
20 years.
Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, I think we probably really like became friends, like, I don't know, like real closer friends anyway. Like, what would you say? Freshman year, sophomore year of high school?
Yeah.
Where we
probably
started.
Probably freshman year. Yeah.
Yeah, where we started like
really hanging out. And other than that, you were just a chubby guy in the background and hanging out with Corey Valdez. And,
yeah.
You know, I was the new black guy in school. That's where I felt at least came from.
Did you? Was that
the Midwest to Colorado, and then all of a sudden I'm in white Colorado. That was kind of a culture shock for me, for sure.
Was it?
Which I think, oh hell yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I remember when my mom first moved us out here. Mm-hmm. She had got relocated here with Ball Corporation, so.
Okay.
The thing that they did to, I guess, prepare families who are, you know, be relocated or whatever you want to call it, in the company, they gave us a videotape of, you know, how great Colorado will be. And it was like, oh, Colorado has 342 days out of the year, sunshine. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. Oh, and, you know, it's the population and, you know, geographics and all that stuff. Like, there's 45% white people, you know, they're 25% Mexican, you know, what is it, math, 35% Asian, 10% black people. And I was like, oh, fuck, mom.
Oh,
come
wow.
on. What did you just do? I don't want to go out there and have like videos of people walking around 60th Street Mall. And I was actually counting, which I still do today, like how many black people are in Colorado. But, you know, it's good. I mean, obviously, you look at all of our friends or look like the international council, you know.
Yeah, yeah, we're pretty diverse.
with a pretty diverse, you know, group,
Yeah.
which is great, you know. Like I truly say, like I don't, most of my, all my best friends are different races. So,
Yeah.
you know, you, which is white Mexican or something.
Yeah.
And then John Santos, little Asian, Dave Lake, Tyler Shepard, you know, whites of white. Then me, and then I got CJ, you know, Darker Than Night, you know, which is his name, not mine picking, but you know, hey. But you know, but that's good, you know, it's what it is.
Yeah, that's interesting to me
So
though.
we're, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you keep going. Where's Sam?
I was just saying that's interesting to me. I never really knew that. You know, I grew up like in a Mexican house. I'd never even like considered how different that would be for you, because there is a real high Mexican population in Colorado. So it, you know,
Yeah.
and I grew up there. I was in, you know, born and raised there. So it's just not something that occurred to me. So it's interesting to me knowing, you know, now that that you
Yeah.
felt that way even in middle school. I mean, but moving, you know, that's hard for, that's a hard age to move out either way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, where I came from, it's not like all black folks, you know. We
Yeah,
had,
yeah.
I could say it was division. Like, as I go back there now,
Yeah.
you do have your one side of town, mostly black people, and the other side of town is still the white people. And you have a couple of the poorer white folks in, you know, the black side of town. And that's how it's always been.
Okay.
But I guess you see more color there. And then I came here and it's, you know, not as diverse, but, you know, you get used to it.
Yeah.
But what's whatever. But yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I guess I can kind of relate. Just, you know, but I moved as an adult, so I think it was a little bit different for me. But going from Colorado to North Carolina, I mean, I guess I can, you know, I see that division as well.
Yeah.
But there's like no Mexicans in North Carolina really. So it's just basically black and white, and there's like a real separation between the two. Like, you know, they, it's hard to explain, man. There's not, it's not like, there's obviously racism. I mean, you can't really ignore that. I mean, it's everywhere, but especially in a place like that. You know, there are some places where it's very, very, very racist. For the most part, though, I haven't seen as much of that, but I will say that there is like a sort of like dominance and a submissiveness
Yeah.
between the two cultures, and it's really crazy. For me, it was crazy to see something like that. Like I was so thrown off by it that every time we went somewhere, and this is gonna sound racist right here, but every time I went somewhere and met like a, or you know, met a black person or anything like that, I made sure to tell them I was not from there. Like almost the first thing I said was, I'm from Colorado, just so that they knew like I didn't also feel that way. So like they knew, like a real crazy form of reverse racism, you know? But I was
Hey man, I'm not
so
gonna
like,
be racist. Yeah, I am from Colorado.
yeah, like I was so worried about that though, because it was just so weird, like to see that kind of stuff, you know? I mean, well,
Yeah,
like you were
I get
saying,
that. Yeah, I had it.
you know, it's not
Yeah,
a,
Colorado is definitely different, you know.
yeah.
I mean, I've ran into racism out here, obviously, and
Sure.
but it's not as prevalent as other states. I mean, being in South Carolina, I can only imagine. I mean, I did live in Alabama for a little bit, and I saw it. I didn't really run into it much. I was more of a young kid. But in Indiana, every time I go back there, you know, I can definitely see it.
Yeah.
And now, you know, notice it. Maybe when I was younger, I probably had it
Yeah.
a lot more interactions, but I didn't really realize what was happening because I was still such a young age, you know, 13, 14.
Yeah.
And then coming out here, like I said, it's not that everybody's kind of like, yay, peace, love. It's like the new hippie thing. So everybody loves everybody,
Yeah.
or they're more closety racist here,
Oh, sure, yeah.
or it's kind of weird. Which is great, you know, keep it closet, you know, I guess, and later I'll figure it out. Like, you know, now, more recently, you know, you're finding more and more like, okay, this guy I've known for a long time is might be a little on the racist side, or, you know, yeah, I might want to watch him, but still nothing bad, you know, not as bad as, you know, the 1950s or stuff like that.
Yeah. Well,
but
yeah,
you know, and not. Honestly, man, like, speaking of the race, like the funniest thing ever, like, I don't think either I realized that what Mexicans were or ever met a Mexican until I came to Colorado, because we didn't have them in Indiana yet.
I could see that, though.
Or, you know, and I mean, I guess that's kind of weird, you know, to think about it, you know,
now
that I didn't know. Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
And I come out to, I mean, it wasn't like, I guess it would be a culture shock, but I didn't really recognize it when I moved out here. I'm like, oh yeah, the Mexican guy, or, you know, Latino, Latina, whatever.
Yeah.
We didn't have those in Anderson or something like that, but, you know, or I didn't realize it. And now that I go back home, whenever I go back home, I'm like, oh yeah, were they here this whole time? Or did we just not really notice it? Was it, we're just kind of noticing only black and white people, you know, and didn't really realize there's other races in the world, you know, for me at that, you know, young age.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it is that, like, maybe that's what you were exposed to, or, I mean, for myself, like, you know, I had a Mexican family, so I hung out with my Mexican family and my Mexican cousins, and, you know, so it's not like I was exposed to, like, a bunch of white people or Asians or anything like that. I mean, it really, when I was, and it's not even something you think about as a kid at all. Like, it doesn't even occur to you that that's a thing.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then, so when I went to Century, you know, it was really, I mean, it wasn't really that diverse, but there was a lot, you know, more of a representation of Asian and some more Mexican and some, a lot of white, and, you know, so it was a lot more diverse than where I grew up, for sure. So I could see that.
For sure.
But,
Speaking of that, I mean, like, I feel, like how we became friends, you know, I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Do you think that as minorities in these prevalently white schools, you know, Century, moving in here, you know, you said you moved in, your family was mostly, you know, Mexican heritage, or hanging around Mexicans, or grew up around only Mexican people.
Yeah.
And then going to school like Century, do you think that made you attract other minority groups? Like, so hanging out with me and John Santos and Tom, you know, and Manny Huff, you know, that's was our group that we started to hang out with. And that's, I feel like that's where we, like, as we moved on through high school, we were still in this minority group.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of attracted only that, you know what I mean? Do you feel, how do you feel about that, I guess, to say, you know, do you think that's something that you kind of, like, strove for, or you thrive to have, is, okay, well, probably won't fit in with, you know, some of the white people right now, but I feel more comfortable with these minority groups.
I think it's kind of different for me. Like, I felt poor. So I didn't think I'd fit in with the rich kids. Like, that's what it was for me. But I think, like, just naturally,
calling me poor.
I thought you were one of the rich kids, man.
Shit.
So, like, I literally thought everyone there was just a rich kid, and I was, like, this poor kid from, like, a shitty neighborhood who, like, came in and was, like, gonna get made fun of all the time. And it's funny, when you talk about minorities, like, I think we just kind of naturally gravitate towards each other because, you know, you feel comfortable there. Like, for some reason, like, I think you just kind of understand each other, and you know what you know you're going through, and you can relate to each other. And, like, the first person I met there was James Gagos.
James.
Yeah, I was in the office. I'll never forget this because I felt so uncomfortable that day, my first day of school. I was sitting in the counselor's office, and he, like, it was the first person that introduced himself to me. And then so, like, I worried all day about, like, what I was going to do at lunch and shit like that. And he saw me sitting alone at a table and he came over and he was like, why are you sitting by yourself? Come sit with us. And like that changed everything for me at that school. Like I had friends instantly and like I hung out with, you know, all these people, and he just happened to be in the group with all like the Mexican kids and all the minorities and stuff. So, but yeah, dude, I think we just gravitate towards each other. It's like a level of comfort.
Yeah.
Like nobody,
sure, man. Yeah.
Nobody's going to understand us, I think, the way somebody who's gone through the same thing, you know.
Yeah, true. I don't know. There's some things I think about, like how do you know you gravitate to the people that you hang out with? Like right now, a lot of my friends that I'm hanging out right now, obviously, are people that worked in the same industry. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of weird for me to hang out with people that aren't in there. Like right now, I'm bartending.
Yeah. Okay.
For people out there in the world that are listening, you know, however many viewers you'll have in the future, that's what I do right now. I'm a bartender.
Yeah.
Back to the industry. But the people I hang out with and are majority people that are in the industry, and that's why I gravitate to them, mostly because we deal with the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, we have the same kind of conversation, and you know, as I look back in life, that's probably exactly the same thing, you know, that you kind of develop with your friends at a young age. So with me coming out here to Indiana from, or to Colorado from Indiana, you know, I kind of gravitated to John Santos. John Santos was actually the first person I ever met here in Colorado. And that's like one thing that we always say, oh, John Santos, the very first person I've met in Colorado, and the racist fucking Asian boys. But that's what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, you know, we grew up, and then we, you know, I started gravitating to him because we played sports. We, you know, we grew up in the same apartment. Then I met, I think Tim Palka, and
down
the street, went to his house, you know, his, you know, Polish dad and Mexican mom, and you know, sports with him. He wasn't like a rich kid either, you know. I feel like I came here and I was like, oh, these guys are, a lot of people around here are real well off. I mean, I lived in a good house. Don't get me wrong, my mom, you know, is well off, but in my lifetime we went from poor to, you know, middle class or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, and but I still don't go for like the really rich kids. I feel out of place. Like they haven't had those experiences.
Yeah.
So, you know, with Tim, it's kind of same way. And then I think with Ivy Cordova, you know, going to his house, and you know, they have a you know, Mexican and, you know, I would say Aztecian kind of feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Southern America, you know, kind of culture. And they're not well off or anything like that, but they're not poor. But, you know, we dealt with the same shit, you know, the same racism and the same, lost for words, discrimination, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, all discrimination as a child, like, you know, we're different. And that's what I attracted to.
Yeah.
And then it was Corey Valdez, and that's probably where I've met you, through Corey Valdez.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Romero, James Gallegos, and we all deal with the same thing. We see the same thing and we feel comfortable, and it becomes a gang, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to call it a gang, but we're a gang of boys that, you know, we still talk about each other, that we like deal with the same shit, and we can protect each other, and, you know, from, you know, these outside factors that, of whatever the in the universe, you know.
Yeah.
I sound like a fucking idiot right now, but
not at all, dude. I mean, I felt real protected, like in our group as a kid. Like I knew if you know, anybody said anything or whatever, like my friends had my back, even at that age. I think that's probably why we've all, or at least a lot of us, have, you know, kept in contact. I mean, you, John, and I. And, you know, I still talk to Corey here once in a while. And I used to, you know, talk to Frankie quite a bit until he passed away. So, and I know you, you know, you still talk to David and Tyler and stuff. So,
yeah, at least I try, man. And, you know, I think we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. And it's probably one reason, like, you're starting to do this is so you can talk to your friends that you haven't talked in a while.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, as we grown up, we've kind of grown apart.
Oh, yeah.
And, but maybe, although growing apart, yeah, we've grown apart as in distances, but
yeah.
If, like, the relationships that we built in the past and first meeting, you know, the, you know, 20 years ago, we can get back together. I feel like if you're actually my friend, you know, yeah, I can get back to you like 20 years later and it's like nothing's ever changed.
Yep. I agree with that for sure.
And, you know, I feel like I chose my friend really well. I don't think I've cut off any of my friends in the past, or if I had, then you probably aren't my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry. If, you know, you're listening to this now, you're like, oh shit, I haven't seen Corey in 15 years and I've never talked to him. You're obviously you probably aren't my friend.
Yeah.
You know, the plain truth, you might just be my acquaintance. But I, you know, I hold my friends dearly. And, you know, if you've hung around me and you consider me your friend, then you probably see me break down, or, and we've probably talked about it. Like, you know, most of my friends know that I'll do anything for them. And maybe that's why they keep me, using me, you motherfuckers, you know, when you need me, but that's okay. That's what friends do. but you know, you gotta have a friend to lean on every once in a while. But, and, you know, tell stories, you know, I have a lot of stories about, you know, you and John, and, I've seen a lot, and, you know, that's what made our relationship so strong, you know, from, like, I think the earliest thing I can think of is going into your house when probably like freshman year in college, or not college, high school, going into your hood and going into your apartment, and I think your little brother threw up on the floor and you just covered it up with newspaper.
God, I don't even remember.
Do you remember that?
I don't actually. But I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were like, oh yeah, we're just covered up with your brother threw up. I think it was like he had cereal. And it was just like he threw up on the floor.
Wow.
And it was like cereal, and you're like, fuck it, I don't give a fuck. Here you go, some newspaper. And you're like, get the fuck to bed. And then we just went out, and I'm like, oh, that's just how it is. And just left, and we went out and drank some Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, dude, I that's a crazy time for me. that whole, I don't know if, like, I didn't really talk about it much back then. Maybe I still haven't, you know, like, well, you know me, like, I'm pretty private. I feel like I'm not, yeah, but I ultimately, like, I'm pretty private. Like, I don't, well, I, you know, I just told you what I told you today, and that happened over a week ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not like a personal thing towards my friends. That's just like, I just feel like I don't want to burden anybody or, you know, make someone else feel like they have to make me feel better or whatever. So, you know, back then I was just such an angry kid, dude. Like, you know, my stepdad was a major drug addict and my mom lived in a fucking shitty apartment in a shitty neighborhood. And I just hated everything about everything all the time. Like, I just hated my life. You know, we were broke as fuck and I just wanted to like go out with a bang. And I honestly, when I was a kid, dude, I didn't think I would live past like 16. Like, I don't know if I've ever told anybody that other than Robin, but for some reason I just thought like I wasn't going to make it past 16. So then when I did, I went crazy. Cause I was like, I did it, you know, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I was just mad. So, like, when I did stupid shit like that, I did it to get back at my mom a lot of times. Like, I just wanted to piss her off. I just wanted her to make her feel bad when I was a kid. Like, I felt like I took care of her so many times that I just wanted to make her feel bad. And now I look back on that and realize, you know, how dumb that is as a kid. And, like, you know, you regret it and stuff. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I was just an angry kid, dude.
Yeah, no, but that's what the future's for now. You know, your kid.
Sure,
teenagers are assholes, and now I'm sure you, you know, your mom's there for you, you know, and you recognize shit. Parenting's hard, and I don't know. I'm not a parent. I'm fucking 32. It might be easy. Fuck it. I don't know at all. I just look at you fuckers and say, I'm like, okay, they're doing okay. Their kid's not dead, so it must be pretty easy, I guess. But, you know, I'm sure you look at, maybe, I don't know.
No,
you might
dude.
Look back at your mom, like, oh shit, I was an asshole and I love you now. I'm sorry. And I was fucking a dick. But yeah. She's like, yeah, I know. At least you made it past 16 and you know, you have a good family.
Yeah.
And you're doing okay. So do better, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and I hope I didn't let out too much for you. I'm sure you
no,
can edit
no.
it out later, but no, those are things no. I enjoy, you know, that's developed me today, you know, our interactions, you know, going into your house, like I said, and you're like, oh man, this is how we clean up. And you're like, fuck it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Cause you hated things, but you came out. I hope it was like you hated your home life, but you know, that's what we were for as friends.
Oh yeah. Big time.
Take you out of that situation and make life better, you know. And,
oh, big time,
you know,
yeah.
Those are some crazy shit, you know, like we've had those moments and that was our release, you know. That's not the only time we clean up, throw up together, and you know, those are some of my proudest moments is cleaning up
or been thrown up on or like
being thrown up on, and I can remember riding around in cars with one of you or me or one of our other friends in the trunk of the car because we didn't have enough seats, and you know, those are things I'm like, oh man, that's fucking amazing. That was great. Well, you're a fucking idiot.
Do you remember when you jumped your car?
That's what...
Do you remember that? That was funny.
I just thought of that. And shit.
Was
that at John's house? I tried to jump it through the rocks or the snow pile.
No, this was in my old neighborhood, and there was like this big dip. And you just like floored it and made sparks and shit. Yeah, that was hilarious. I think someone was in the trunk that time. Your Celica.
It was Jeremy Stone.
Oh, that might have been. Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure. And I think I jumped. I was like, oh, I'm going to jump the shit out of this.
Yep. That was funny.
he didn't die. So, sorry,
yeah, so.
Jeremy, but hey, you're still alive and a dope character. You might have lost some brain cells. Who knows?
But it doesn't matter because that dude was smart anyway.
Yeah.
So he's good.
But oh, man.
Anyway, my bad. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But,
this is great.
No, I was just going to let you talk.
Oh, you don't. Ah, man.
No, I like.
Worry. We're just reminiscing on some. Crap.
Yeah.
You know, just things that we did in life, you know, and where we're at today. You know, you said you didn't think you're gonna be past 16, you know, and you kind of revolted in life, but you know, I mean, honestly, I feel like you've got pretty good for yourself, and I hope you don't feel that way now. But you're like, oh shit, I hate my life. I feel like you've, so far, I don't think I've met your youngest yet. You know, I've had.
No, yeah.
Like, at least I've got to talk with Asher, you know, over the years a little bit. Not as much as I would have liked to, but good kid. The other one, last time you were here, you thought he was an asshole.
He still is. He's
going to be a dick.
He's just like me, is going to be a huge jerk and make everyone angry.
Yep.
But
payback.
I love him, and he's the best still. And, you know, I don't know, like, you still, as a parent, like, you still enjoy those times, like, because you know that those times aren't going to last forever. Your kid's going to move out, and that's that, you know, they're done with you. So, you know, I think about that stuff all the time, just, like, what am I doing wrong or right? Like, you know what I think about a lot, actually, is when I had kids, how all of you felt about it, because I just like had a kid, right? You know, like all of a sudden, and I just went like fully into it and just like made everything about being a dad. And I always kind of wondered like how that affected all my friends, you know, and it's, honestly, it's part of why I moved, because I kind of felt like it was almost like alienating to everybody, you know, like we couldn't all relate on the same level anymore. Cause none of, you know, John doesn't have kids. You don't have kids. You know, like most of our close friends don't really are, you know, my
have
circle anyway, have kids. Yeah. I'm kind of like the only one.
You're the only one.
Other than, I guess, my friend
Tom. Yeah, I think you're actually. Yeah, and Tom, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're actually the first person in my friend group to have a child. Mm-hmm. And when you did have a kid, I think I was like, what?
Yeah.
You have a kid? And, you know, I kind of, like I said, I kind of saw you grow with it. And I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, obviously, like, as I don't have a kid right now. And when all of our friends started to have kids, I'm like, you are kind of left out. And you're like, okay, well, you know, you're growing, and it's something that has, you know, like we said, you grow apart as friends, but, you know, as close friends, you know, that's fine. Like, yeah, you have family. I'm not going to be fucking angry at it, or
yeah.
You're not alienating me, but like, you take care of your friend, your family. And then when we have time, we'll fucking have a great time and, you know, do stuff.
But
it didn't, like, I wasn't depressed, you know, I didn't say, oh no, I lost a friend because he had a little shithead kid or whatever, you know, this, my life's never going to be the same. And it wasn't like that, you know. It was like, ah, fucking awesome. I hope he doesn't kill this kid, because I know I've, you know, seen you in action. And then you're like, ah, fuck, man, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for this child, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, but now, you know, I'm looking at him like, damn, he did fucking pretty good. You know, Asher loves him, and, you know, I haven't had an interaction with the other kids, but I'm sure they are going to be smart, and surprisingly, they look really well. Good looking children, you know.
Oh man,
Robin.
Dude, you're telling me. I'm shocked. every day that I look at them, I'm like, what the fuck?
Did I do this?
How did this happen?
Holy crap, you guys have three, like, possible model kids. I mean, that's like, honest truth. Like, damn, these are some good looking children, you know. I think
he took a picture
last week or a couple weeks ago, and I was like, damn, I don't know if it's camera magic,
it's the lighting,
or some photogenic kids, you know.
I appreciate
lighting.
I appreciate that, because you don't know,
but
like,
as a
parent, dude, you think your kids are the most beautiful, but it's not always true.
Yeah. No, I have some ugly, you know, people on Facebook and friends, you know, babies. And like, oh, that sucks. I'm not going to name them. But yeah, I've seen some ugly pictures.
Do you want
kids? Yeah, you guys created some.
Eventually. That's a huge question, but yeah. Well, it's kind
of, you know, eventually I mean, I will have kids, you know. Honestly, shocked I don't have any kids right now, or if I do have kids, I don't know about them. And it's, you know, that's just how it is. I'm not a saint. So before I was in this long relationship, with Carissa, I was out there.
Oh,
there could be
of course.
Kid. And I always walk around the street like, holy shit, that young boy looks like me. Oh no, did I get the mom? I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know her good. but, you know, eventually I will have kids. I can see myself with the kids.
Yeah.
I'm not like planning on it. I don't think it's going to be a planned situation. Like, I get home, like, okay, we got 15 minutes to get in bed and just, you know, let me get in. And then you get on a handstand and we're going to have kids. But if it happens, it happens. I feel like I will be a decent father.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Absolutely.
Better than my father was. And that's my goal, to be above and beyond. You know, like, I hope I don't kill the kid if I ever had them, you know. But yeah, man, I'm always open to it. I will be open to it whenever it happens. I'm sure.
Yeah, I find that interesting that you said that, you know, better than your father. I feel like people like that, myself included, that's such a huge goal for us. And it's such like a major driving force in not just having kids or raising kids, but like everything we do. You know, you really feel like you can't make the same mistakes or the same, you know, follow the same path or treat people the same way. I just find that interesting. Maybe that's another thing we've got in common, though. Or, you know, we've never really talked about that stuff, though. But that's what
is
for.
Not into death, but yeah, that's what podcasts are for. That could be your next episode. Friends and shitty dads and how it's affected your parents or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, did your daddy problems drive you to the pole or whatever?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, honestly, that's one thing because of my dad, I avoid a lot of things, you know, I've avoided a lot of the drugs that I've been around, you know, in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's because my dad taught me good lessons and I try to keep to that. And, you know, once I have a child, I strive to be better than him and be there in that picture.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I feel that's probably, like I said, it's the exact same thing that you've done. You know, like your dad, we've talked to a little bit in the past, like not in depth, like your dad wasn't there. He wasn't the greatest dad.
Yeah.
Until later he kind of got into your life a little bit. But now that you have your own children, you are trying to be, a, you know, the best father, you know.
Sure, yeah.
For them and be there for them like your dad wasn't. And, you know, obviously it looks like you're doing a pretty good job because you're still there and I commend you for that. So
I appreciate that, man. That, you know, yeah, coming from you, that means a lot. And,
yeah,
I really do appreciate it. It's funny. This podcast is taking a turn every time about to, it turns into dad talk. But I know you wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, social media and staying in touch and stuff. That's basically the only way we stay in contact now is either through social media or if one of us, like, you know, decides that we have time to pick up the phone that day. You know, I know we're, you know, everybody's got a busy life, especially now as an adult. Mm-hmm. So social media really is the only way that I keep in contact with my friends. And I'm probably the worst at keeping in contact with anybody. You know, that's why I did this, so that I set an appointment with my, you know, a different friend every week. And then I make sure to speak to that friend at that time and talk to them for like an hour. So what do you think, you know, like, how did you feel? Was it weird when we moved or like, you know, you came to our wedding and then we almost moved like the next year and it was kind of like abrupt. I don't think we really like said too many goodbyes to anybody or anything like that. We just kind of like up and left. So I know that was,
yeah,
like
you guys kind of just left.
It's a dick move.
Yeah, I think we went to the Keys and, when did you guys move? What year was that?
It was the year after, like 2013, like August or end of July around.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. 2013.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of weird. I think that time was kind of weird. Came back from Florida Keys.
Yeah.
Then I think you left before John did, right?
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. And I think you were already out of town too, because you were
I went to college. I went to law. Yeah, I went back to law school or something like that. I went to law school. So it's kind of weird. And then, like, when I come back to visit, I think you were gone. John was gone. Tyler Shepherd was gone. David was here, but he was on his own thing. CJ just had a kid too. So, you know, like going back to what we just said, like alienating. But dang, I don't have any fucking friends here anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. Because I think I remember when you moved, I was like, what? Just leaving to North Carolina? And it was kind of a weird thing. But
yeah.
I understood. I didn't understand why. I think Robin's parents are in South Carolina.
Well,
are those parents in South Carolina?
I guess I haven't really told you guys this either. So, the reason why we moved is, goddamn, there they go again. Another notification. The reason why I moved was, you know, after we had Asher, it was really hard to like get invited anywhere or like go out with people. And we got it in our heads that nobody wanted to hang out with us or whatever. You know, we felt sorry for ourselves and whatever, you know, we're at that point in our lives where we're pretty insecure about, our relationships with other people. And it was weird, you know, just we're new parents and me and Robin are so extreme that we just stopped, like, I, you know, stopped doing everything. And then we kind of had the car accident and like after he was born, and and I got hurt. And so that was another reason. And so we just kind of felt like, you know, nobody wants anything to do with us. So we're going to fucking run from our problems instead of talk to anybody. And so we left. And I think that's probably one of my regrets, is that it wasn't really that, you know, and I understand that now. Like, it wasn't ever that nobody wanted to be around us or hang out with us or be friends. It was just that I think it's hard to relate to each other in that way, you know. And if somebody wanted to go out, me and Robin couldn't just up and go. We had to make plans to go.
Yeah.
And that's hard for everybody because, you know, everyone else has freedom to do that. So, you know, in a way, like, I think it was really selfish of us to do that and to up and leave and to feel sorry for ourselves and to kind of like point the finger at everyone else when it wasn't anyone's fault, really. It was just we were in different stages in our lives.
Yeah.
So that's that's.
Now, do you feel like it's a good decision, though?
I didn't for the first like 3 years. It was really hard for me to like adapt to that culture because it is different. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know, like, because you lived in the part of the Midwest where it kind of is the same. You know, you're in like that Bible Belt area, and so
yeah,
it's pretty similar as far as you really have to adapt to their way of life. You're not just another person there. You're right. An invader. And so the first 3 years, yeah. But then once we had Brooks and then once we had Clara, I got really comfortable because it is a good place to raise kids. You just have to have a lot of control over what they're learning and how they or who they grow into. Like, if you don't have a lot of control over that, then you not being from here, you might be really disappointed with the way your kid turns out, depending on your morals or whatever, I guess. But
no, yeah, well, I don't know, man. I think it's for the better, and it's, you know, as you go further into the future, you're definitely gonna be like, yeah, this is really a good decision for me, you know. But
yeah,
I mean, that's how I felt. I was like, okay, going to South Carolina probably is a good decision. You know, like I you need a change sometime. Colorado, definitely. That's one reason I went, moved back to the Midwest, because I just wanted to change, and now I'm back here again. And
yeah,
it's helped out.
Do you think you'll stay there?
I don't know, man. Where I'm at in my life, I'm just trying to figure out my next moves already, you know, with my career. I just got to figure out what's best for me. And right now I'm in Colorado, but I have a feeling that I could possibly go back to Illinois at some time.
Yeah.
Or I might be here for the rest of my life. But right now, just living in the now, trying to make my life better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who knows? And wait and see to be continued.
Yeah, sure. No, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Back to your question, social media, Facebook. I asked you about it, or you asked me about the topic and Facebook and social media, and I kind of came up with that because when we had originally talked before you started your podcast, you're like, okay, this is about friends and, you know, far places. And I think I was just going through Facebook and, you know, looking at Facebook right now, I have, let's see, let me go to my profile here. Let's see how many friends I have. Oh, it doesn't show you that much anymore, but sure, I have like over 700 friends or stuff like that that I have no idea, but I find myself daily kind of looking through the news feeds at these people that are people I've met in my life, and I'm happy to be able to see their lives, but can I really call them my friends? But still I see what's going on in their everyday life, maybe. And I've had some of my closest people that I've, you know, I've known all my life, and I really do call it a friend, that have said, yeah, man, I pick up fake shit on Facebook all the time just so people can think that I'm doing well or we are doing well. And I'm like, wow, that's very interesting, because you're like, you know, we use social media to connect with our friends, but then the social media, you don't really actually know your friends.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's, you're kind of have a disconnect with your friend, and then you have all these other people that you kind of let into your lives, and they may know things that other people, some of your closer friends, don't know, because they are Facebook religious or Instagram religious. And I know, I just kind of thought it's interesting and something I wanted to talk about and get your idea of it, because you said, yeah, it's like the only way you can connect with your friends, but like, I don't even find myself on Facebook that much anymore. I know when I was in law school, I kind of cut it off. I didn't invite any of my law school buddies in there because I didn't want them to see stuff in my past. So even the people that I've like had, I guess I could really connect with in law school and I can call them my friends now, still aren't Facebook friends. Because it's, I don't know, it's just kind of wormhole, and you don't think you really get to know who I am all the way through it. And I know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
not a me.
No, I, yeah, no, I totally get it. Like, I don't know. To me, social media is, it's fake, like 100%. You know, I have a Instagram for this podcast, and you know, it looks like I'm posting things every day, and like, I don't even do that. Robin runs the whole thing for me because she's better at it. And you know, she's completely in control of what goes up there, and like, it's not even me. And I think that's just social media, period. Like, it gives you an opportunity, like you were saying, going back to your point of, you know, posting things, or your friend posting things to like make people think that they're doing well. You have 100% control over the image that you portray or put out into the world at all times. So for me, you know, I'm kind of like what you said with your law school friends. I probably don't consider you a friend if we don't have like at least a phone relationship or a texting relationship. Like, if we're not talking outside of Facebook Messenger, we're probably not that close, you know?
Right.
Like, and
yeah, that's how I feel exactly, man. And like, like for birthdays, I've kind of made it like a commitment to myself that if like you're an actual close friend, like in the past, I'd be like, okay, text message, or something. But if you're a close friend, I'm trying to make sure that I pick up the phone and be like, hey, happy birthday. Or if I don't have time, you will get a text message with a fucking shitload of memes or memes or whatever the hell you call it. But you know, just, I think somebody's birthday was a couple weeks ago, and like Facebook makes it so easy for you to, or social media makes it so easy for you to just go on there and be like, happy birthday, and you have like 105 birthday wishes. Yeah, people are like, oh yeah, it's your birthday, I want to congratulate you, but most of them don't even know that, didn't know it was your birthday, wouldn't know it was your birthday. I feel when I get that, unless it popped up on their notifications. But you know, if I like it, are you my friend, or do you just like, are you just doing that because they care, or you just kind of get away from it, from actually being a friend because you have Facebook and then you can say you're my friend? Or is it too hard for you to like figure out how to call me or actually text me, but now you have Facebook where you can do that? So it kind of bothers me, man. And like, most of my friends I know, either know your birthday or actually have you set in my calendar, so I'll make sure that I reach out to you. And sometimes that's that might be sometimes the only time that I get to, that I remember to call, contact you, because we're so busy in life. And that's how, you know, I've kind of stayed up with my friends. And I guess around their birthdays, like when I really start to talk to them again. Like, I think I met with my friend Nick Thayer a couple weeks ago, and had breakfast with him, but I got back in contact with him because it was his birthday like a couple weeks ago, and I picked up my phone, and I think I was working all day, so I didn't call him because it would have been midnight at 1 a.m. because my life is ridiculous. I sent him a text with probably 8 different memes probably like a fat stripper, Santa Claus, something with turkey because it's around Thanksgiving. But that's how I'm trying to connect with them. And I mean, I'm kind of going on a rant right now, but
no, you're good.
That's how I feel about the Facebook and social media, just kind of letting people off the hook and able to say, oh yeah, I'm friends with them. Are you friends with them, or are you just an acquaintance now?
Yeah.
Or are you actually going to reach out and, you know, you can type on Instant Messenger and troll and be like, hey, oh man, we should hang out sometime, but we don't reach out.
Yeah.
That's why one thing I'm like, damn, you're going to do a podcast. This is amazing. Yeah. Let's talk, man. Let's chat it up for an hour and, you know, catch up and let's see, you know, how we are, you know.
Yeah.
Actually get down to the nitty gritty a little bit.
You know, what's funny.
Get away from social media.
Is like, well, first of all, like just on the point of social media again, and what you were saying about, you know, having those like acquaintances and stuff reach out to you. I think back, you know, even when we were kids, like you could lose contact with people and you'd kind of be able to weed out your real and fake friends by losing contact with them. If you mm-hmm. didn't talk to them anymore, they weren't friends. You know, it was just that relationship happened. You took what you took from it. It was gone. Facebook doesn't allow you to do that anymore. Like I know personally, I'm, you know, Facebook friends with people I haven't talked to since like middle school, but we're still friends. I'm Facebook on Facebook. Friends
with people I don't even know that are who are. Yeah. How did I remember even met you? I'm like, I don't know.
And
I think I went to Cancun and I'm a Facebook friend with some a bus boy or something that we talked to for a week. And I'm like, holy crap.
And in that moment, you know? You're like, well, you're awesome. Let's be friends. Here's my, you know, or they look you up or whatever. And now you're just like, who are you? And, you know, why are we still talking? So I think in that way, like Facebook's kind of, it sucks. You know, it sucks to have like all these fake people and you can't just like weed people out anymore. And they're just constantly in your life. But on the other hand, you know, with your real friends, if you have Facebook, it's kind of nice because then now you can keep in contact with your friends and you can see what's going on in their lives if they post whatever. Yeah. So that's nice. So it's kind of, you know, a double edged sword. But I think there's probably more negative than there is positive.
Yeah.
Because
it'll be interesting to see if people start listening to this podcast after this episode if I lose 400 friends.
Dude, it's funny. No one listens to it, so I don't think you have to worry about it. But. Well, you do, so I appreciate that. But you're one of the first people I thought of when I started doing this, and actually I think you're the first person I asked to do it, and that's kind of why I put it off, because I was kind of nervous about it, you know, because you are one of my friends that means a lot to me, and so, you know, you want to, I don't know, I've never been this like open or vulnerable, I guess, in front of my friends, especially the ones that mean a lot to me. And I should be, like, I should have always been like this or done this or tried to reach out more. So, you know,
but you know, this is cool. You're doing it now. And, you know, I hope you know that, I mean, obviously, like I said before, we're all, most of your friends, I am, always there. We'll always be there for you, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you don't have to be afraid to open up. It's, you know, gone through a lot and we're here together still for a reason.
Absolutely.
And still talking, whether it's, you know, through the craziness of Facebook or, you know, sending a quick text message, a phone call every other month, you know, it's still good. It's just, you know, that you're still alive and, you know, that we can open up. I think I've talked to you about the stresses of my life, you know, and you've been there for me to talk me down and like, oh yeah, you know, give me some confidence, but that's what we're there for. We're not, friends aren't there, aren't supposed to be there every single fucking day, but we're there when you need them, you know, I feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, so, I think that's important.
But I'm glad that you reach out to me for some important stuff like this. You know, you, like you said, are a really good friend to me and have always been, and, you know, I, you know, love you guys. I didn't always like Robin. I did. She was, might have been racist the first time I met her.
Yeah, probably. That's ignorance.
had no idea. She didn't like to drink out of the same cups as friends. I think I made that mistake the first time I met her, and I was like, oh shit. Yeah. She doesn't like to
drink out. Yeah, she,
she's good. She's great.
Robin. Yeah, she's different. I love her, but she's different. But she'd say worse things about me, so take that, Robin.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. Hope I could do this another episode 25 episodes, or not years. I don't want to do this 25 years from now.
Yeah.
25 episodes from now or something, and see how better you get at interviewing, and I can think of some other stuff or something like that, because right now we're just kind of having conversations with each other and recording it, which is, I think, will be interesting to see and listen to after you cut, chop, edit it, or whatever. Or make
you know it, what? I don't know. Sale. I kind of like what you said in the beginning. Let's just leave it how it is. Kind of like it.
Maybe put some little whistles and bells on the back, and some nice music.
Oh yeah,
you get Cali screaming in the back, and you'd be all good, man. Or something, man.
No, dude, I'd absolutely love to have you do it again, because I think you're like such an introspective person that you really think when you talk about stuff, and I think a lot of people, I don't know. I don't think necessarily that a lot of people don't do that, but I think that it's a unique quality to have, to really like consider things before you have an opinion. You're one of those people that really thinks about things before you just spout off an opinion,
Yeah. I don't really want to sound like an idiot. I don't want to sound too much like an idiot. And, I'm hoping I sound okay on microphone. When I was listening to this, you and Robin sound great. Like, who knew that was you guys speaking on the microphone? I know that I sound like a little high school boy and high pitched or something. I feel like when I'm back at this, I'm like, oh God, I hate my voice. This is horrible. And I'm like, Andrew, can you take this down? Don't ever put this on the world,
You want me to like
figure out how
it?
To get this off the back of my head?
I'll just like
change it so it's like, yeah.
Hey, this is well, no, you should go by William. I think
I call him Murder.
You're gonna want to go by William. Hey, this is William. Oh, fuck. William Ford.
This is William. Yeah, like, this is an interview with William Ford. He might call me Bill.
No, you can't go by Bill anymore.
Little ladies. Oh, no, Bill.
That name
I've been going by Raphael.
Sullied. Yeah, I
Raphael
saw that.
Sounds exotic. I think that's why I've got that on the most of my social is Raphael. I think it's because it's exotic, and I wish my mom called me that most of my life. But
did you really?
No, 32 years later. What, Raphael?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my whole name. William Corey. Oh, shit. William Corey Raphael.
I did not know that.
Now people in the world know exactly who I am.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Now the like 10 people that listen to this are going to, one of them's going to steal your identity, but it'll be easy to figure out who it
was. Oh, no. My identity sucks right now.
I didn't know Raphael was in there. I always knew William Corey.
Yeah, it's interesting. Not many people know that. Even like the closest of the closest, I think my sister knows that my middle name is Raphael. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
You should totally You should just tell everybody your name's Raphael. No.
Yeah, I feel like if I ever become a movie star, that's what I'm going to pick. It'll be Raphael.
Oh, definitely.
It might just be William. It might be William Raphael, and Raphael is my last name or something. Dude. William Raphael in I don't know, some cool movie or some dumb movie, but whatever.
Dude, absolutely.
So if you ever get famous off of this, and you end up, having a show or a voiceover character, hopefully my voice sounds great, or you just want me to be an extra, put me in it, and I will be William Raphael in it.
Okay, let's do it. I think you should be Raphael. Raphael, like Williamson.
Raphael Williamson in Sounds good.
Raphael Williams.
I do that. Raphael Williams.
And die even harder a third time. Or something.
Maybe going to the porno side.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, whatever. Whatever you want to do. We support you.
Yeah, man.
Robin will probably watch a few, so don't even worry about it. Might get awkward.
Nice.
Might get real awkward, but you got to support your friends.
Yeah, and then episode 32, you'd be like, oh, Corey.
Tell us about your life.
You get some real questions.
Tell us about your new life. How does Carissa feel about it?
I'm like, oh, right there watching.
Yeah. Oh, well, she's the director.
Oh, man.
No, but I appreciate it, dude. Yeah, I really do appreciate you doing this. I think I'll probably have John on next, maybe. Just to kind of tie it all together. But no, I appreciate it. I really appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Do you have to do a sign-off or anything?
Yeah, I guess I will. Might as well. I'll just do like, well, that was Corey Ford. Here he is. Thanks for joining me.
Yes.
Appreciate it, man.
William Raphael.
William Raphael.
Thanks for having me. Great. Can't wait to hear the next episodes. And it was awesome.
Yeah, thank you, man.
I didn't sound like an idiot.
No, it was great. I really appreciate it, dude.